even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
From the Financial Times in London, this is Hard Currency. I'm Katie Martin, and here to do the talking is Oliver Harvey from Deutsche Bank. It's been all drama in Asian currencies so far this year, particularly with China. But closer to home in Europe, there are some currencies at some really interesting points. Chief among them, I would say, is sterling. It's had one of its biggest falls since the Bank of England gained independence in 1997. Oliver, what is this about? Is this the Brexit premium?
I think investors are getting a little bit more nervous about Brexit. I mean, I think a difference between the Scottish referendum, if you go back to 2014, is that it came as a big shock to the market when that poll came out and everyone got excited about it. I don't think it's possible to say this time around that Brexit is coming, or that this referendum, rather, is coming as a surprise. And you can see that in the options market, where you've got quite a lot of risk premium priced in. I would say, though, that the fall in the pound over the last 2 or 3 months has been less to do with Brexit and more to do with the Bank of England. And right. In particular, it's been about the market taking out those hikes that we'd been promised by the Bank of England when they changed their tune in the November.
The famous Lincoln Cathedral speech,
absolutely. when they changed their tune in the November inflation report, and also subsequently the data has been a lot weaker. So to be fair to the Bank of England, it seems to justify their approach. Wage numbers have been coming off, the GDP data has been softer. Mm. So they were probably right in their approach. I think actually it's been more of a cyclical phenomena than a Brexit phenomenon, and I think going forward, one of the reasons why continue to be bearish on the pound is the cyclical side. Yeah. We haven't seen the fiscal tightening yet. We're going to see the biggest fiscal tightening of any major developed economy in the second half of this year, and the growth numbers have already slowed, and we've got that yet to come. So I think, if anything, the risks are to the downside.
We had the GDP numbers out earlier. What do you think they're telling us? 0.5% on the quarter, right?
0.5% on the quarter. The full year growth last year was 1.8%. In 2014, it was 2.8%. So we're already...
The direction of travel is
pretty
clear.
That's right. And it's interesting. If you look at a rank of the UK in terms of GDP growth versus the rest of G10, you know, back in 2014, we were top of the pack. It was actually something our Chancellor was very pleased to point out. If the current growth momentum continues, we'll be number six. So we've gone from being one of the fastest growing economy in the G10 to in the bottom half. Mm-hmm. So it has been a significant slowdown. And as I say, we still have yet to see this big pickup in fiscal tightening.
Yeah. I mean, just going back to the Brexit question, quite a lot of people seem to be using this referendum as an opportunity to worry about the UK's current account deficit. You know, that's been there forever, and it's the sort of thing that people only worry about when there's something else to worry about, if you know what I mean. Is it a legitimate concern, and how much could it weigh down the currency?
The interesting thing about the current account deficit, as you rightly say, you know, we tend to be a current account deficit country. You know, it's been there for a long time. Happens to be particularly bad at the moment, but we have been able to sustain a big current account deficit. The flip side of the current account deficit, and the reason it's so wide, is we've actually been generating a huge financial account surplus. So it's just basic balance of payments accounting at entity. What that means is that we've been, the number one destination for FDI inflows. We've seen record portfolio inflows. And that's what's been driving sterling stronger over the last few years. I think going forward, the question is, are those big capital inflows sustainable? Yeah. One is the cycle is slowing. The second one, as you say, is the Brexit risk. And if we see those capital inflows begin to slow, then the current account will improve, but the pound will weaken.
Yeah.
So I think when we talk about current account adjustment in the UK and what it means for sterling, what we really mean is financial account adjustment.
Right. what's your target on the downside for sterling now?
Well, we think the end of this year will be 128 in cable. So we have a pretty aggressive forecast.
What about my Christmas shopping trip to New York? You're saying no to that.
Oh, you might have to postpone it. But on the plus side, you know, South Africa is a very nice country to go on holiday. And a sterling ZAR is still, you know, right at the top.
What's it, about 24 now?
Something like that, yeah.
It's crazy.
No, definitely plan your safaris now.
Okay, noted. Moving on to the euro, it seems to be really caught in between some pretty big tides at the moment. I mean, Mario Draghi is dead serious. And if you doubt it, you can look at his speech from the other day. He's dead serious about doing more easing if it comes to it. But Eurodollar is not budging. I'm guessing this is because of this bizarre relationship that the euro has with risk sentiment now. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think you've literally hit the nail on the head there. You've seen euro being this very risk-on currency, so a high correlation, positive correlation with equities. So the euro being this risk-off currency, so a negative correlation with equities. And I think that has to do with the way that the eurozone has structurally changed, which is now eurozone has this very large current account surplus, which is kind of a stationary variable. It's not really going anywhere anytime soon. And what drives the euro is not the current account. Again, it's the financial account. Mm-hmm. It's whether European investors are recycling all those excess savings. Mm. So when the world looks good, they do recycle those excess savings, they buy foreign assets and the euro weakens, and vice versa. So the euro at the moment is trapped, I think, yeah, as you say, by what's happening in China and the relatively negative external environment. That being said, I mean, going forward, I think, you know, we prefer to be short euro dollar rather than long from here. One reason is the ECB. I think they will be very intolerant of euro dollar much higher from here, given how bad the inflation backdrop is getting. And the second one is, you know, the market, yes, the US economy isn't doing as well as it has been, but that has been pretty well priced by the market, in the sense that we've really only got one hike price this year, and the Fed had previously been talking about three if you look at the dots, and four if you believe some of the FOMC members. So I think there's still some chance that the US economy can surprise to the upside, yeah, and that we get a more hawkish repricing of Fed hikes.
But it could be a surprise, you know, an unusually boring year for Eurodollar. I think we've all earned one. We could do with one in a way.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
On one of the smaller currencies in our time zone, the Swedish krona is another one caught between some crosshairs. The central bank would dearly love it to be weaker. Unfortunately, the economy is going gangbusters, and so it's not. Who is wrong? Who's going to lose their shirt here?
Well, look, the Swedish economy is going gangbusters, and you can make an argument. It's almost overheating. It's the fastest growing economy in the G10. Manufacturing confidence is at record highs. The trade balance is improving. House prices are still rising pretty strongly. So pretty much on any metric, the Swedish economy is doing really well. The only thing that's not doing really well is inflation. And the problem that the Riksbank have had over the last few years is very low inflation and not really meeting their mandate for price stability. And that's particularly problematic in the first quarter, because in the moment in Sweden, you have very important wage negotiations, yeah, going on. It's a big collective bargaining process in Sweden. It doesn't happen very often. The Riksbank are very focused on those. And what they don't want to do is give the impression they're just going to let the inflation target go. So that's why I think in the very near term, if you get excessive krona strength, or rather if the krona appreciates a lot, there is a chance that the Riksbank do some currency intervention. I think on a 12-month basis, if you're looking a bit further forward, given the strength of the economy and given the krona is so cheap, it will be one of the better performing currencies.
Yeah, might be a rocky road though.
Might be a rocky road.
Oliver, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Hard Currency. Do keep in touch with all the FX news in the Financial Times on www.ft.com/markets. And join us again next week for Hard Currency.